Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are so glad you have found your way to this worshiping community and ways that you can learn more about how we are church together. In your bulletin, there are announcements and also a calendar. If you have any announcements or if you have any questions, there'll be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And don't forget the hospitality registers are in your pews at any time. Sign those, send them on down so that we're able to greet one another by name. And I've only got one announcement this morning, and that is a reminder that kickoff for the new program year will be September 11th. And so put that on your calendar and come to worship a bit early, like 8:30 early. We're going to be celebrating with a breakfast to get us started for the year. All right, now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Good morning. Please stand as able to join me in the call to worship. We may be thirsty and parched like an unwatered garden, so we come into God's presence. The Divine One is a spring of water. We may be weary from worry and work, so we come into God's presence. The Holy One offers us Sabbath rest. We may be lost or confused, so we come into God's presence. The Wise One offers us welcome and guidance. We may be bent over with struggle or pain, so we come into God's presence. The Healing One empowers us to stand strong.
Thank you.
We come before God with our entire selves, all that we are and all that we can be, and we bring to God our brokenness together. Join me in the prayer of confession. Isaiah's people, the people of Israel returning home from long exile, sought in the prophet's words guidance for building God's kingdom, offer food to the hungry, reach out to the afflicted, remove the yokes of oppression and injustice, overcome despair and complaint in struggle. We too struggle with this guidance and too often fail in our attempts to build community. Holy One, forgive us. Take away whatever holds us back. Show us the way to confidence and generosity, so that we may be known as your people, repairers of the broken places and restorers of streets to safety and peace. O God, with your help, we can change and bring you glory. Though we may have strayed, when we come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, we can be sure that the kingdom we are offered cannot be shaken. We will not be abandoned. Indeed, we will have continual guidance each time we feed the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. We grow in the strength of our faith and our bond with God. We are changed. Praise be to God, this simple miracle is made available in all of us, God's children. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite the children to come forward, please. Good morning, friends. Come sit on the floor with me. Good morning. Oh, it is so good to see you all here this morning. Good morning, friends. Come on up. So guess what's happening this morning? I'll give you a clue. Come on. No one knows? The font is open. What does that mean? Graham? Come on. Hi, good morning. We are going to have a baptism this morning. That's right. Little baby Freya, who's right there. And remember in those promises that we asked the congregation that you guys are all a part of, we promise to guide and nurture, to love Freya, and to teach her all about Jesus so she knows that God's love is always with her. But you know something? I'm going to guess baby Freya isn't going to remember her baptism, is she? Probably not. So what we get to do, which is so much fun, is to remind her about God's love and how Jesus is always with her. So this morning, I wanted to also remind each and every one of you that God's love is with you too, and that Jesus is with you no matter where you are going. So I think something is happening in a couple weeks, isn't it? Someone tell me what's happening. What's happening in a couple weeks? Really? So I know some of you guys are still going on vacation. Me too. But after we get back from vacation, where do we get to go? School! Good job! I know, I am so excited, and I know some of you guys are excited too. And I would like for us to remember that as we get our backpacks ready and our school supplies in them, we get our new shoes on and our first day of school outfits ready to go, that Jesus goes with us too. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a blessing about school starting. And you guys are going to say, Jesus is with me. Can I hear you guys practice that? Say, Jesus is with me. Very good. So when I point to you, you say, Jesus is with me, okay? You ready? All right. So when it's the night before school, and I'm picking out my clothes and making sure I have all my supplies, Jesus is with me. Good job. Come on, you guys in the middle. So when you're waking up and eating a healthy breakfast to start the day, Jesus is with me. And when you're getting on the school bus, sometimes for the first time, or someone takes you to school, Jesus is with me. Good job. And when you meet your teachers and your new friends, Jesus is with me, right? And when you're looking for the right bus to ride home, and sometimes you're not quite sure and it gets a little scary, Jesus is with me, that's right. And when you come home and share with your parents all about your first new day, Jesus is with you. That is right. No matter where we go, Jesus is with us. Can we have a prayer together? Thank you, Jesus, for always being by our side, even when we're nervous or afraid, when we're excited. We know that you, Jesus, are with each and every one of us. Help us to show that love to each other. Amen. Okay, friends, here's the deal. Stay put, okay? If you want to see the baptism, you guys get the best seats in the house. So just stay where you are. If you want to go back to mom or dad, you're welcome to do that too, or grandma and grandpa, but you can stay right here for the baptism. Is that okay? Okay, all right. So, hello, my friend. So at this time, we are going to invite up to the font little Freya. Come on. And she can bring her parents, Ben and Jennifer, too, and sweet little brother, of course. And we've got our elder. Hi, sweetie. Are you ready? All right. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And so, obeying the words of our Lord Jesus and confident in his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. And in baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. And so by water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church. She's excited. We are also made members of the body of Christ and join in Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. So let us all remember with joy our own baptisms as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Freya Elizabeth Olson, son of Ben and Jennifer Olson, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Jennifer and Ben, for Freya to be baptized. And relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith, to teach that faith to your child?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Freya by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ, and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, please say, we do.
Ben and Jennifer, in presenting Freya for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ. Embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. And as God embraces you within this covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Jen and Ben, in Is Christ Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust in him? And do you intend for Freya to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love? Do you? Let us pray. Holy God, our parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament, for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one in Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. Are you ready, my dear? Hello. How are you? Oh, my goodness. Okay, come here. I promise. Look, here. Yes. Freya Elizabeth Olson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. This child of God is now received into the Holy Catholic Church. See what God's love has given us. Friends, let us pray together. Almighty God, giver of life, you have called us by name and pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your child, Freya. Watch over her, guide her as she grows in faith. Give her understanding and a quick concern for neighbors. Help Freya to be your disciple, who is baptized by your Son and servant and who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, for Ben and Jennifer. Help them to continue to know you and your love, to teach your love and the stories of your Son Jesus to sweet Freya. Holy God, remind us all of the promises given in our baptism. Yes, and renew us in these waters. Amen. Amen. Do you want to go meet everyone and say hello now? Let's see how that goes. Ready? Come on. Okay. You may stand and sing together from the green hymnal, Wonder of Wonders. Okay. Thank you.
The first reading of the word this morning is from Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from his manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah. "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It was the pastor's second day in a new church. For over 30 years, the new pastor's predecessor called his sermons provocations. Members of the congregation said that their previous pastor was heavy-handed in his sermons, relying on a bit of fire and brimstone to motivate the congregation. But toward the end of their time as church and pastor, the church started to notice the pews were a bit on the light side. And then during the interim time, people came and people went, and everyone was sure it was because of the pastors. And so the congregation, and now this new pastor, believe that if they call the sermon something else, people will surely come back to worship. Except we know that the decline in worship attendance probably wasn't really about the pastor. More and more people are choosing the morning paper, coffee shops, and sporting events over Sunday morning worship. Yet the church was still convinced that we can change their minds if we just call that sermon something other than a provocation. And so surveys were sent out, members responded, parking lot meetings commenced, and a Facebook list began. Call the sermon a testimony, an exhortation, a witness, proclamation of the word, or a lecture that goes on too long. Let's just call it a sermon. But being honest, we are all too familiar with the conversations about the ways we can change worship to become more appealing to those who are not in the pews. Whether we call the sermon a sermon or some other title. And then there are the hymns, of course. Contemporary, praise, the old favorites. I still struggle to figure out what hymns fall into each of these categories. But regardless of the element of worship, recent years have brought about a scramble, looking at the ways that things have been done, what went wrong, and why are people not choosing church? And of course, how do we bring them back? So when I first started in ministry, by the way, the opening story is not my story. But when I first started in ministry, religious leaders whispered behind closed doors, just hoping that people in the pews would not figure it out, lest their jobs be compromised. That we are living in what is called postmodern, post-liberal, post-Christian times. But friends, I think it's safe to say, since Time Magazine and the USA Today have run this headline on more than one occasion, the cat is out of the bag. And yet the hand-wringing and the finger-pointing continue in many churches in this country as they scramble to figure out a way to reverse congregational, denominational decline. And I think about that poor pastor and the pressure being put on him for such an arbitrary thing as what to call the sermon in the bulletin. But his struggle is not new. And we know this from hearing the words of Scripture this morning from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's people are living in their own post-times, post-exilic, post-temple, post-David monarchy. This is the world that they are living in because their realities have shifted in the 50 or so years since they lived in exile and have now returned to Jerusalem. And so they're looking back over what they would consider the glory years and how everything, at least in their minds, changed so quickly. So the prophets pointed fingers and people scrambled about to figure out ways to fix what they thought was broken. Why has God not noticed how well we humble ourselves in worship? It must be that God just doesn't see our fast. The skilled poet and prophet Isaiah does this magnificent job of weaving in the complaints and grumblings of the people with the divine indictments in the opening verses of this chapter. The primary voice in these verses is God speaking through the prophet. And he reminds them that the reality before them is a daunting one. And God does not ignore what's going on around them. The temple is destroyed, yes. And what they knew of their home in Jerusalem, it looks nothing like it did. A breach gapes open across the land and in the identity of the people. Who they claim to be and how they claim to live isn't manifesting in their everyday lives. And the violence continues on their streets. People are going hungry. They are literally trying to piece their lives back together. And yet, of course, at the same time, pointing fingers and arguing about what worship style and practice is most pleasing to God. I honestly don't think I could have found any ancient and sacred words more relevant in our time in all of the Bible if I had really tried this morning. Thank goodness for lectionary that puts it right before us. Because here we are, 2,500 years later, in our own parched lands. Cities lying in ruins, foundations shaken, generations in peril, and ramparts of peace breached, streets unfit for living. And the burden of oppression weighs heavy. This burden we have seen come right to the forefront this summer with racism, bigotry happening, and it's crushing. This yoke of violence like a millstone around the neck of our nation. And we've become so used to it, numb to it, blind to its affliction, blind and deaf save for the cries of the families whose children and fathers, mothers, and friends lay trampled. And in the midst of this, we ask, where is the peace? Where is the healing? Where is the church? Where is God? I feel the breach just in giving voice to those questions. And between the ways God puts forth a vision for the church to offer food to the hungry, to satisfy the needs of the afflicted, to build up our communities and restore the streets we live in, and how we are living out being the church in everyday life. When we spend time worrying about whether or not a sermon is called a provocation, or we have the right day for a fast, rather than how we proceed forward in being restorers of the streets, we experience the brokenness. Yes, our intentions are good, but the gap is right there. God is calling us through these ancient words to stand in that breach, to do the work of repair and restoration. The light, my friends, is already within us, waiting. Break forth. It's on us, isn't it? To be the church where the hungry and tired, the powerless, disenfranchised, hurting and harmed are being invited over and over again and attended by faithful folks and communities that understand that each of our healings, as individuals and as communities, is dependent on one another's. Here we are, part of this community here at Gates Presbyterian Church, because we know that this is a place for us. We can gather with people who have various faith backgrounds and traditions, lived experiences, and are working together to be the church.
Outside these walls, though I'm grateful for them right this moment.
Friends, given all that has happened in our nation and the world around us, I am feeling an increased urgency in these words. The shootings of African American men by police officers, the killings of police officers doing their job to protect those who are speaking out against systemic racism. And I think about how here in Rochester, in Gates, this can happen here. The breach is here, and I wonder how we might join together to be repairers of this breach, to stand in that gap between the hatred happening in our nation and the vision that God has for our community. We're going to be doing work around this in the upcoming year in these walls to educate ourselves, but I also know that it can't stop here. Even when it's raining or snowing, we're going to have to take to the streets to get out of this building. And I wondered how we might start to do that. So I called up the police chief here in Gates. We decided maybe it would be helpful to call all of the clergy together that serve right here in our neighborhood, something that hasn't happened in the 6 years that I've been here. I met people who just lived down the road who I didn't know at all. We all shared a meal together. We got to know each other, and we asked, how can our communities best serve the people here in Gates? What are our churches already doing? How can we partner together with the police and the schools and the town? It's not revolutionary. But some of us remember all too well the days that the Catholics and the Protestants weren't even allowed to talk to each other. We are long past those days. And I know there are significant differences in worship and theological styles in many of the churches here in Gates. But we know that these differences have to be at the bottom of the list, because the breach in our streets is widening. And we believe, as clergy, as communities, as congregations, that God puts forth a vision for us to offer food to the hungry, to satisfy the needs of the afflicted, to build up our communities and restore the streets we live in. We know that when we are only focusing on what's happening inside these walls or on the differences between our churches, that gap just gets bigger. We come here on Sunday mornings and at other times during the week because we believe and know that in this time of worship, God hears our cries, our confessions, our songs, our prayers. And we believe that God is with us, guiding us, nurturing us from bread from the table and in the waters of baptism to the youngest disciples. We believe that here We are made strong. Worship is one of the most important things that we can do together for the purpose of raising up together in the love and grace of God. But we don't do this just for this alone. We do this because God calls us so that we can go out and partner with God to be restorers of the breach between the pain and the suffering in this world and the delight for peace, justice, and mercy that God intends now and always. Amen. Our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. If you would like to share one aloud, you are welcome to raise your hand. An usher will bring a microphone to you. And if you're comfortable or able, please stand. Let us know who you are and share with us your prayer.
Morning, Jim Madoff. I just offer prayers of thanksgiving for Dottie's operation last week. Her new knee has been a marvelous success, and she's doing really, really well.
Wonderful. Prayers of joy. Dottie Madaw healing well after knee surgery.
I'd like to offer a joy just thanking my parents, Cecily and Peter, for driving here from New Jersey to help us celebrate Freya's baptism. And my sister Sarah and her husband Caleb and their two sons for driving from Massachusetts to see us. And also all of Jen's family that have come to support us. So thank you.
Good.
And I'm sorry, my sister Emily as well, who came here from Michigan. So. Oh, and terrible. And my grandmother, Carla, as well.
Amen. Freya has a lot of people who love her.
One,
and we're glad
two,
you could all be with us.
Yeah, they're all coming.
Got one back.
Hi, my name is Wayne Smith. Tyler and I are going on a great adventure to New York City tomorrow morning for 4 days, so we would like prayers for safe travel. Thank you.
Prayers for safe travel and have fun. Saw one over there and right behind. There we go.
Sally Christensen. Prayers for my 96-year-old uncle and cousins in North Carolina. He was diagnosed with lung cancer recently, a mesothelioma, and it's not going to be real long.
Prayers for your uncle, Sally.
J.C. Wushon, I would like to ask for continued prayer for our good friend out in Cincinnati, the Anderson family, as they are having a difficult time grieving the passing of our longtime friend, Laura. And on a joyful side, I would like to indicate that 35 years ago, tomorrow, I received the best birthday present. And as I began a wife, Velta. So tomorrow we'll be celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you for that.
Todd Pym, prayers for my mom. She was diagnosed with skin cancer, and she had surgery this past week removed. So she's having a little difficulty with it, but she's getting through it. Just asking for prayers. Thank you.
Prayers for Todd's mom and her recent cancer diagnosis. Whit keeps waving over there. Anyone else? I see you, Whit.
Whit Beckett, continued prayers for Tina Richardson, Dave Cook's mother. She's doing better, but still hospitalized with heart problems. And when she does leave the hospital, it's unlikely she'll be able to return to what has been her normal living arrangement. And her son, Billy, lives with her, so it's going to be a major disruption for him, too.
Continued prayers for David's mom and the whole family. Also, to share, ask for prayers for Bob and Fran Paro with the death of Bob's mother this week, and also for Margie and John McKnight as they grieve the loss of Margie's mother. Let us pray. God, our help and hope, when waters rise, you brought Israel safely through the sea. Sustain all those who seek to save others so they may repair the ruined cities, raise up former devastations, and be restorers of the streets to live in. Holy God, we pray for the people of Louisiana and the Gulf states, where streets and homes are being destroyed by floodwaters. We pray for those in California, where the numerous wildfires are burning. Be with the firefighters and emergency responders. Help us, O Lord, to feel your strengthening presence with us. Help us place our trust in you, knowing that you will empower and enable us to be in service. As we have brought the names and concerns of those who are dear to us in this time of prayer, we seek your healing and compassionate love. Let us also be willing to place our needs and concerns before you. God, open our eyes, both to the beauty and the pain in this world. Open our ears to the cries of our sisters and brothers in every place, and open our hands to do your work in the world. Open our hearts to feel the pain, the joy, the discouragement, and hope of all those who long for freedom and peace and justice. God, we offer all these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, with joy and celebration, let us receive the morning offering.
Holy God, we rejoice in your loving kindness. You create us in your image with unique gifts so that we may love and serve you in our distinctive ways. Thank you for guiding us continually as we seek to follow Christ your Son. Empower our congregation by your Spirit to show and tell your good news of salvation to our neighbors. Use these offerings to bless all those whose lives are touched by the ministries of this church. Amen.
Thank you.
And we go. We go out into this world where we know there is pain, where we know that God calls us to be repairers of the breach, bringing God's love to all, sharing the grace and love of Jesus Christ, and go with the power and the courage of the Holy Spirit to do so now and always. Alleluia. Amen.